And I'm going to ask those who are wearing their big green ministry machine sweatshirts to come on up this morning as they will share what God's been doing in their hearts and in the last couple of weeks through your prayers and through the power of the gospel. And we want all just come behind me and stretch out behind me. You know, the Bible tells us that in Mark's gospel, chapter 16, verse 15, that Jesus commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord commanded us that we should first of all begin the preaching in Jerusalem. It should spread to Judea and Samaria. And then he says to the uttermost parts of the earth. But in the middle of all that command, he commands us to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the message. We need his power. The world is at our doorstep. And God has empowered this church to preach the gospel to the other side of the earth. The gospel is going forth in Jerusalem. The gospel is going forth in Judea and Samaria. The body of Christ works together as one. And in God's divine sovereign choosing, he has used this church to not only spread the gospel to Moscow and St. Petersburg, Russia, and to Saratovo and to other little towns and cities. But God is blessing in a radical way. I want to tell you that I'm so excited and encouraged to see what God's doing. And in the last couple of weeks, on the heels of the Easter services and all, to see 1,300 people come out in the rain to worship Jesus Christ blew my mind. And to have people accept the gospel who live in our communities who have never heard the saving grace of Jesus Christ. America has so rejected the gospel for so long. I believe this is a great time for the church that holds forth the word. I think we're going to see a moving of God's Spirit in America because there are so many coming around who've never heard the good news. And they're grabbing it like the people in Russia. And so I'm going to ask these to come forward. And guys, we're going to have to limit it. I won't be rude to you if I tap you in the back at about 4 minutes into your five-point sermon. But we want everybody to share. And so, and by the way, this is one-third of the group. Each service this morning will have another group. So right now, I don't care who goes first. Where's Daniel Courtney? He's the one that's Daniel, you're the group leader on this team. Why don't you come on over and start and listen to what God has done.
Well, first of all, I don't know why I was a group leader, but I guess God's humorous. But one of the things that when we first met at the airport, Jack shared from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, and it is, "Do not fear their faces, for I will be with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And that set the tone for my trip. I asked the Lord, you know, who would you have me to speak with and when we would congregate and all the people would come. And I just felt like the Lord led me to speak with men, young men all the way up to old men. And I would look through the crowd for the meanest, toughest, orneriest looking old guy. And I would see him and I go, oh, you know, I don't know. And I'd just start quoting this verse. And I'd walk up with a track and say, "Hi, I'd like to invite you to church tonight." And it was amazing. The men there, they stand there and they're so, they don't smile much. And they're real mean looking. But they are such a sincere people. They never will not shake your hand. They listen very politely. And it's my belief that the people in Russia know more about death and eternity than the average people in America. They don't have a fault. They have no hope, but they don't have a false hope. Like, it seems like people in America just feel like, you know, God's a good God. He loves America. I don't need to be devoted to God or know him. I just think I'm going to be okay when I die. And these people over there, you ask them, "Where do you think you're going to go when you die?" And they'll say, "To the grave or to hell." And it's amazing how they will not believe the Bible, but if you say, "Can I tell you what the Bible says about death and eternity?" They'll sit there and say, yeah, I want to know. I want to hear. And, I mean, they'll sit there and go, until you're done. And it's neat. It's such a blessing to have someone who will listen. And it's funny, when you go up there and you start talking and shake their hand, they warm up. And they see your smile and they like the fact that you care about them. And there's something there that the Lord uses to get the gospel into their hearts. And so I ended up speaking with a Jewish man who was in the Russian mafia, and a Buddhist, and a colonel in the army, the meanest, toughest guys I could find. And, you know, not all of them accepted the Lord, but the gospel went out, the seeds were planted, and some and many did. And it was just a total blessing to be able to do that. The power of God is radical. You'd see their eyes. Some of them were so tense that they would just be quivering. And you'd start just, you have your interpreter and you'd say the word, you know, the Bible, read this verse to him, and he'd read this verse, and it was like he was hit, you know, and these big guys would start melting, and you'd just see the power of God's word hitting them. And it was awesome. It was a tremendous experience. But the thing that amazed me was that when you go out there, you hear about all the necessities that you have to give up. And we joke about how it is and how it's hard. But really, that is such a privilege and such an honor to go to the front lines, to be used to proclaim the word every single day. I am so thrilled that the Lord allowed me to go. And Satan will use that against you. It's very hard. It's not an easy trip, but he blesses. God blesses. Satan will try to say, why did you come, you know? And it's hard to figure out, because for me personally, I don't sing, and I'm not very mechanically inclined, and I'm not big enough to be security. And on this trip, I happened to bring a football. I brought a football because I know the kids like football, and I know that there were some times to kill on the first trip, and so I thought it would kill some time. It ended up being a major distraction on the trip. Some of the interpreters were using it during the outreaches and all. And one day Jack said, hey, who brought the football? And I had to go, I brought it, you know. And he says, I don't want to see that football again. I said, okay, you won't. You know, I'll pop it. And one day when we were moving all the equipment in, nobody wanted to deal with the speakers one night. And I tried to get away from it. I thought, okay, nobody's going to do it. I'll do it. I plugged it in. I blew the fuse. And so, you know, you go home and you start thinking, Satan goes, you know, oh, man, you touch the equipment once, you blow it up. You know, and you don't fit in anywhere, all these things. And Satan goes, and aren't you the guy who brought the football, you know? And you really start getting down, and Satan really, you know, wages a war against you. But the thing is you know that the blood of Jesus has set you free, and that qualifies you above all things. And the Lord will use you, and he'll strengthen you through all those times of doubt. You may lead four or five people one day to pray, to accept the Lord, and you'll go home, and you'll despair, and you don't know why that night. It's just a tough trip, but you grow from it. And I've never felt more joy. I've never understood better the sacrifice God's made for me and what he did on the cross. And I'm so grateful for that. And I would just tell everybody here that maybe you don't have too many requirements. God doesn't really use accountants in a place in Russia where there's, you know, not much money to count. And yet, he'll use you. He'll use you even though you don't fit in anywhere. And it's a blessing. And I would just ask that you would please, I hope there's nobody in here that wouldn't at least pray if God would have them to go. And if not, please never weary of praying for our brothers and sisters in Russia. Thanks.
Well, like Daniel, I was a group leader and I questioned why also. I more or less headed up the worship team, and standing back and worshiping the Lord and watching the other brothers and sisters walking out in outreach, to me that was the mightiest, most awesome ministry right there. As Daniel said, gosh, he didn't sing, he didn't do this, do that. To me, I just sat back and played. I watched the Russian people, I watched them come up. They'd come up and kind of look around and go, gosh, what's going on? You know, what are these Amerikanskis doing here? But as we played, as our team went out and spoke to the people, you'd see their eyes open up. They were very intent to listen, very open. as the days went on and on, you would just see that they weren't such a cold people. Because I know when I first went there, we walked in, we were flying over, and you see all the snow, and it seemed like a really cold city, at least for myself. I'm kind of a country boy, so as we're going in, all the tall buildings, all the monuments to men, the statues, the culture and everything, it's like, gosh, you know, a lot of asphalt, a lot of pavement, a lot of bus fumes, you know. But I'll tell you what, the people there are just like you and me. They look just like us. They speak a different language. But every single one of them hungers to know the Lord. There's times where I looked out and I thought, oh, gosh, you know, what am I doing? I felt like I wasn't doing anything. But later in the middle, I realized that my purpose was to worship the Lord, to have a sincere heart, to be a servant. And I was touched every single day as I watched my fellow teammates touching the Russians, making friends. I mean, sincere friends, too. There's team members here that have lists and lists of people that hopefully we'll be corresponding to. The children are beautiful. They have such a need, you wouldn't believe. We're walking around in our $50 Sorels, and they're walking around in worn-out tennis shoes and socks. I would just, if anything, constantly keep them in prayer, keep our church members, Loretta, Mark, all the children in prayer, because it's not over. By coming back, by no means is it over. We need to constantly keep in prayer, never be complacent, never lose our focus to what's going on over there. There's trips coming up that people will be going back, and I too would encourage, if you can go, even if you can't afford it, pray about it. The Lord will send you if you're meant to go. One of the brothers that I met and always remember would be Ilya. He's one of the Russian worshipers that came from Moscow. And of all the people I met over there, he has a real heart to worship and just praise the Lord. One thing he had said to me is, you know, we were kind of like worship animals, because just every day, 5 hours, rain, snow. I mean, we'd be playing and we'd be looking outside the tarp going, gosh, that kind of looks like snow. And it was snow. One thing he had said to me he goes, gosh, you know, I've never been this committed. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, this is something that we love to do, and it's so natural for us. The Spirit just filled us, energized us. And I would hope, if anything, as we left, that the Spirit will just continue to work in his heart, because you guys would have to meet him. We've invited him over. How he's going to get over here, I don't know. But I know I'm in competition with probably 10 other brothers here to put him up at our house, so each of us can have him for maybe 4 or 5 hours. But the people over there are beautiful. They're wonderful. Keep them in prayer. And I wanted to thank the team, because I think all of us felt so minuscule next to each other. But in reality, the Lord used every single one of us, big part or little part, and together the Lord's work was done regardless of what we felt and what we thought. The sound system was a mess halfway through, and I'll tell you what, that was the Lord right there, because going over there, you're going over with this mighty system, and oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to, without the system, we can't praise the Lord. And the reality was, we didn't even need the system. I mean, we got to the point where we had 2 people on each mic, we had people plugged into the speakers, and I was moved more by the Spirit than any other time. I mean, we were just humbled, and again, the Lord just said, hey, you're here to worship. You don't need a sound system. You don't need this. You don't need that. All you need to do is be here and just shout out my name. So, guys, just thank you very much.
I don't think Jack will have to tap me on the shoulder, because it probably won't take very long. I've been praying about what to say, and I think, well, am I going to say the same thing everyone else is going to say? But I know God's laid a couple of things on my heart. And first of all, I want to say we serve an awesome and faithful God. And Another thing is that it is neat to see people accepting the Lord. That was a total blessing. But there was one girl that I watched the worship group sing, and she just stood there, and then she turned away. And as she was turning away, I knew God wanted me to talk to her, but there were other people around me saying, oh, you should go talk to someone else. There's a group of girls over there. I'm like, no, God wants me to talk to this girl. And as a couple of us approached her, she knew we were coming to talk to her, and she just started to cry. And not only did she cry, I cried, the two other people I was with cried. And her situation was that she had accepted the Lord one time in her life, but she was in a situation where she was living with someone. And I could see how the Spirit of God was working in her life and just piercing her heart. And we looked for her that night at church. She didn't show up. We looked for her the next night at church. She didn't show up. I never saw her again when we left, but God has put her on my heart, and I know a couple other people to pray for her. I know God knows exactly where she's at. And then the other thing that's on my heart is that the same way God used us and His Holy Spirit worked through us in Russia, He so desires to do that here too. And for me, I have such a burden from the people I work with, and I have been kind of passive in my witness to them, but now that coming back from Russia, God has just opened my eyes and put a fire under my heart to just share with these people. And I know that only with His Holy Spirit can I do that.
So, thanks. I wanted to share a little bit out of Isaiah. After the first full day of outreach, when we got back home to the hotel, Mark Valenzuela, my roommate, we were just sky high, pumped all up, and we couldn't go to bed, so we just started reading out of the Bible, and we got to Isaiah 55. I wanted to share a couple of verses and how it spoke to me personally. And it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance." And that just spoke to me about the Russian people who basically have nothing. You know, they go out on the streets and buy their food for that day. Several of the men, like Daniel spoke about, just wander the streets, drinking during the day, smoking cigarettes, and they just cried out for the gospel, the true bread of life. Verse 11, it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent." And, I'm the last person I thought would get out and be street witnessing. But you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and then it's amazing. It's just a transformation that you get out there, and He just pumps you up, and you go from one person to the next person. And a couple of people that we spoke to one day, these two girls, Oksana and Liana, Susie and I shared with them on the street, and they'll listen. All the Russian people will listen to you, whether it's for 5 minutes or 2 hours. And, you see them on the streets, and they don't smile, and they're real sincere, and they'll walk away without accepting the Lord, but you know that you've planted the seed. And these particular girls came that night to the service. And when all the heads were supposed to be bowed, I peeked. And they both raised their hand. And so we ran over to them after the service and prayed with them. And that was probably around day 4 or 5. And every public service, whether at night or during Sunday, that we had, they were there. They came back every night. Somewhere about 4 days into it, they work with kids, and they both wanted to go see what the children's ministry does, perhaps sometime wanting to help Christy. And it was just amazing to see them when you talk to them on the street, the way they are. But like after they accept the Lord, and every night after that, smile from ear to ear, they're just full of joy, bouncing around. You can just tell the transformation that they went through. Like I said, you talk to so many different people, whether it's 5 minutes to 2 hours. I can think of one conversation that I think it was Martin, myself, and Roy had with one lady, lasted 2 hours. And, you know, as far as the word not returning to me, Boyd, we had just grabbed, we were short on translators, so we grabbed a girl who spoke English and threw her into the fire right on the spot, and she wasn't saved. And her first translation situation was this two-hour conversation. And when she was done, she was pulling her hair out. Because she, every word that went in, it went through her mind, and she thought about it before it went out. And never saw her again. You know, I prayed for her every night, and I know that the Lord will take care of her. But it says in 1 Corinthians 3 about how Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And it's amazing. We're just vessels out there to be used. Wednesday night when we got home, I spoke to a couple people, and somebody asked me if you would recommend that they go over. And I would say definitely. Everybody should do it. Thanks.
I just want to say thank you so much to all the people who prayed. I know there was a massive prayer team covering us while we were gone, and we could feel it. I went on the last trip, and I think there was more spiritual warfare this trip than there was the other trip, and yet we were still victorious. There were still lives that were changed, including our own. And just the power of prayer and the power that God can do in an open and willing vessel. And that's all of us were. We all went over feeling totally, you know, what can God do with me? And he, as long as we're open and willing to be used by him, he'll use you. Like Dave said, some of us only planted seeds, and that's all we did. We never reaped a harvest, but someday that harvest is going to be reaped. I just wanted to share, since so many people prayed, and you have no idea if you've never been there what the people are like, I wanted to share just with a couple of the people that I met that just blessed me. The very first day we went to an outreach at a school, and I met a 13-year-old girl named Anya. And that night she came back to the service, and she accepted Jesus as her Savior. And she came every single day from that point on. And she was just the sweetest. I just loved her. She was so sweet. And after, when we were getting ready to leave, other people were asking who she was that were on our team. And she pointed her out to them, and the people that were on the worship team, and they said they saw her every day because she stayed in the sanctuary with the adults instead of going in with the children, because that's what she wanted to do. And she was worshiping. She was learning the song. She was just, you could see that she just loved the Lord, and she was excited about learning about who he was. And it was so hard to leave her because she was just bawling her head off. You know, when you leave, these people are standing at the bus, and you're like, oh, I can't do this, you know, because it's so hard. And I met another young woman named Natalie that was very, very shy and very quiet. I met her at a metro stop a couple of days after we were there. And she didn't come to church that night, and I was kind of disappointed. She hadn't received, she heard everything I said, and she believed it, but she wasn't ready to make a decision. She came to church the second night after I had invited her, and she accepted the Lord that night. And she also came every night after that. And you could see the transformation in her as well. Like Dave said, you know, they just start smiling. You can see they love the Lord. I was asking, are you reading your Bible? Yes, I'm reading it every day. And the last night she came, and she brought her husband. And I wasn't in there because I was working with the children, and I didn't get a chance to talk to her right away, but someone else from Church Planting was talking with her and her husband through a translator, and he had heard the message that was given that night. Then he was talking with Ann and for a long, long, long time, and just a lot of questions, and he finally accepted the Lord too. And it was so neat because now they can have this neat new marriage together in the Lord instead of, you know, each going their separate way, especially with her being so quiet and so shy. And we exchanged addresses and everything, and I told him I was going to be sending them some verses to help them start to grow in their walk with the Lord. And, well, we'll look forward to your letter. They could hardly wait, you know, until I was going to write them again. And it's just so neat. And the highlight of my trip, I think, was a man that I met last time that I had written, and I'd never heard back from, so I didn't know where he was with the Lord and whether he was still going to church or not. And the very last night at service, Mark Koppel came looking for me, said, I've got a surprise for you. And I said, you have a surprise for me? Someone here to see you. And I thought, who could be here to see me in Russia? I don't know anybody, right? And he takes me out into the hallway, and there's a man named Vladimir that I had met last time, that in his 60s, English-speaking, and just the sweetest man who craved fellowship with other believers so bad that I had no idea if he was still going to the church in St. Petersburg or not. And he told me, he was so excited to see me. He had gone to the other St. Petersburg church on Sunday morning, and they said there was a team from Calvary Chapel there, and so he thought he was going to come and give a letter to someone to give back to me. And instead, I got to meet him person to person, and it was such a blessing. It was just so neat because he's still going to church. He's reading his Bible every day, and he's growing. I asked him about his wife because his wife is an atheist, and that was one thing that was so hard for him because he couldn't share the Lord with her. And he said she's still an atheist, but he said now she believes in Jesus, not that he's the Son of God, but at least that he's a man. And he says that's progress. And he says, you know, at least she believes in Jesus. And he was excited because he says, I'm going to keep praying for her. She will come to church. I just know it, you know. And just that he still has that hope. You know, here's this man in his 60s and a woman who has been an atheist her entire life. And, I don't know, it was just such a neat, neat thing for me and the children that the Lord totally confirmed that Christy is to be there. I mean, we had 60 to 90 kids there every night for children's ministry. And these kids are excited. They're learning the worship songs. They're learning the hand motions. They're trying to learn a few words in English. And they were such a blessing. They had smiles on their face. They were very excited to learn about Jesus. I just want you to, as others have already said, keep praying for these people. Pray that they'll continue to grow in the knowledge of the Word as well as of the Lord, that they don't just, you know, fall by the wayside. And pray, too, that the harvest will continue to be harvested over there. And also pray for Mark and Loretta and Christy because they're in dire need. If the church stays with what we left it, they're going to be hurting big time. And they need servants. So they need to grow some of these Christians up really fast so that these people can help them. So just keep in prayer for these people. They're just wonderful.
I never wanted to go to Russia. I never really knew why I was going because whenever they'd mention it at church, I'd always listen with half of my ear. And I got this overwhelming desire to go, and it wouldn't leave me until I signed up. So I signed up, and I went. And I kind of hid behind the keyboard about the first 4 or 5 days. That was really awesome in itself, just standing back and worshiping the Lord and seeing the people smile and clap. They clap at every song, slow or fast, and, you know, as hard as they can. That's neat. And I guess one day I decided we were having problems with the sound and that I didn't need to play the keyboard. I need to go witness. And I grabbed Warren, and the very first person I looked around, Jack told us, you know, pray and the Lord will show you who to talk to. And so I looked all around, and I saw this girl standing there, and she was sobbing. She had tears just pouring from her eyes. And I walked up to her, and I hugged her. I didn't say anything to her. And I just hugged her, and she hugged me like I was her best friend. She didn't let go of me for a while. And when we let go, I looked in her eyes, and I said, why are you crying? And she said that she said my mom died yesterday. And right at that exact moment, you know, I thought, this is why I came to Russia. My mom had died 9 months ago, and I knew the woman's pain. I knew exactly how her tears felt. And I still felt that. I felt like the minute she told me that, I just got flooded with emotion myself. And I looked in her eyes, and I said, I know your pain. And she just looked at me like she knew that I knew her pain, you know. And I said, the only thing that saved me was the Lord. He got me through it. And I still felt sad a lot, and I still feel lonely, and I miss my mom a lot. But the Lord has strengthened me. And I read her a scripture that I always held fast to, Psalm 16:8, that the Lord is always at our right hand, therefore we shall not be moved. And then she started talking about Orthodox things, and then I went and got Lisa Hibbs because I didn't know what to say to her. And Lisa encouraged her in the same way I did. We hugged, and we invited her to church, and she couldn't come because it was her mom's funeral the next day. So the next day was really an emotional day for me. I was crying all the time. I had no clue why. Jack prayed for me and prayed that it'd be my best day ever, and the day was crummy. We were at the Hall of Atheism, and I've never felt so much spiritual warfare ever. I felt like someone was like pressing our heads down everywhere we went. We didn't feel like doing anything. It was a dreary day. And I'm playing, thinking just what Jack prayed. Yeah, right. This is my best day. So that night we went to church, and we worshiped, and we sat down, and Robin Bender got up and shared her testimony, how three people in her family died in 1 week, and how the Lord brought her through that tragedy. And as I was sitting, I just could feel like, I could feel somebody staring at me. I just couldn't find who was staring at me. And I looked over, and there was this girl sitting there, Tanya. She wasn't supposed to be there. It was her mom's funeral that day, and she was dressed in black. And when she saw me, her face beamed like she found her friend, you know, that's how it felt. And I was so excited. And then afterwards, Jack had a question and answer service. He also asked, who want to accept the Lord, while everybody's head was bowed. So I had my head bowed like this. And she raised her hand, and I was excited. And I couldn't wait to get Lisa, because Lisa had met her, and Warren was in with the kids. And afterwards, she stood up and asked, why is it a sin to commit suicide? And that panicked me. I thought, oh, no, because she probably feels like killing herself. I never felt like killing myself, but I could relate to how the pain that she must feel. She has no family. Anyway, I stayed there. I didn't go back up for worship because I had to grab her before she left. And I asked her. She said her friend was the one wanting to kill herself, not her. So that was a relief. But I invited her friend to church, and it was neat. We became great friends, and Robin Bender and her, and we introduced her to Loretta. And it made me realize that we can have a tragedy in our lives, so a lot of pain, but the Lord can use it to his glory. And I saw evidence of that. I thought if there's any other reason that I went, it was just for that one moment. Because I did feel her pain, and she's fired up for the Lord now. She came every single night, and I made friends with everybody, and went off to the metro with different people she met, and that was a total blessing. And wait, can I say one more thing? I'm really thankful for a lot of the men that went. I know, like, Jim and John were like my big brothers, and they hugged me when I needed encouragement, and we had a lot of fun in the late hours worshiping the Lord as a group, you know, a couple of us. And I didn't lose any weight because Dave Hoogland fed me every night, pudding and all kinds of goodies. And but one man that really touched my heart while we were there was Ed Welsh. He was a total servant for the Lord. He did everything that he was asked of plus more. And that guy, he touched my heart. He was an awesome testimony of the Lord's saving grace. Thanks.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank the Lord publicly for letting me go on this trip, and I want to thank all you that contributed to my going, because I was short-funded on this, and the Lord raised up people to help make me go on this trip, and it was just awesome. Even some people even gave me some clothes to go on this, and it was just, I was blown away by that. I mean, when you first put your name on the list to go, or even before that, the Lord starts working on you, and he did me. I mean, I had the money to go, and all of a sudden my cars break down. I mean, things start falling apart. You know, I think, well, maybe the Lord's saying to me, he doesn't want me to go. He's closing the doors on me. But I said, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not sure if this is from Satan or if it's from the Lord, but I'm gonna see this thing through. And if he's going to close the door, he'll close it at the end, you know? So I hung in there, and I hung in there. And it was really an emotional roller coaster for me before the trip started. So when I got on that plane, the Lord prepared me, for a neat trip. And I was just thankful to have my ticket on the way to go. And then just the kids there. I mean, when you're there, you go through so many emotional ups and downs because your heart breaks for people and your joy for people. And it's so hard to explain that you have to really go to feel it, you know. Mike Stefano and I played worship for the kids, and to have maybe 75 to 100 kids in front of you that don't know one word of English, we're singing an English song, and all 100 of them are doing the hand motions without prompting them, you know, just an ocean of hands. It was just, you want to cry, you know, and it's so cute, too, you know, when they're in class. I helped out in the classes, too, and they'll sit there, and somebody will ask them a question, and they'll pop up, and they'll stand up like this, and they'll go and give the answer, you know. They go, oh, man, you know, it just blows you away. And I think those things just ministered to me. George Bryson said one thing that really stuck in my head. He said, if there's one thing you can do, you can talk about the Bible, you can go through every scripture in this Bible, but if you don't talk about the gospel, you've missed it. You know, if you don't talk about Jesus coming to the earth in the flesh, that he died for your sins, that he shed his blood for you, that he loves you, and he wants you to come into your heart, you can talk about this Bible all you want, and it won't do you any good. That's, the cross is where it's at. And I took that, and even if the guy could care less about hearing the gospel, I at least left him. He said, leave him with that, and that's exactly what I did. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can take that same thing and use it right here at home when I'm witnessing. If someone doesn't want to hear it, I'll at least leave them with that. And then it's their choice. It's up to them. And that's something that I did. And sometimes, like, Susie and I would get together and do some witnessing together, or I'd team up with Mary. I teamed up with Mary a lot, and sometimes you kind of feel like you're tag team wrestling for the Lord, you know. You'd tag off, and she would take it, and you'd kind of get stumbled, and, you know, back and forth, and it really worked well. The Lord orchestrated so many things, and you can see the Holy Spirit work so well because you know it's from God, just like Susie. I mean, of all the people in Russia, that one woman was there just for Susie, you know? And Lonnie was there, Lauren was there, and I happened to be witnessing with her. There was a Hare Krishna in the group, and we happened to walk up to him, and we handed him a track, and he started questioning her about something in Corinthians, you know, and I didn't know the answer, and she just happened to have read that chapter and studied it in her Bible study. Now, to me, I go, if that isn't the Lord, what is? I mean, the Lord leads you right to that person. It was just awesome. And to see Ed Welch, this big hulk of a man, you know, standing up playing Goliath, you know, and you had to be there, you know. It was awesome, you know, and then to see Ed Welch give his testimony, and, you know, you see Ed Welch weep. I got one other thing I want to say is, Daryl, I was moved by his father came with us. If that's not a testimony for Jesus Christ, Harold raised his family right. I mean, he did it right. He raised him in the Lord, and there's Daryl the proof for it. And one day, Daryl had to give his testimony in front of everybody, and he was really nervous. He goes, you know, I don't have any tragedies in my life. What am I supposed to tell them? And I go, man, you're the best example of a Christian that's here, you know. Your dad raised you right, and you've been following the Lord all your life. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? So anyway, that's just what I want to say. And these guys were great all the way through. So thanks.
First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers. As most of you know, that I was kind of sick, but it's only really a half-truth. Is actually, I was getting pretty tanned and pretty fat. And Jack says, hey, you got to get in there and lose some color there, kid. No, I was sick. I was really sick for about 2 days near the end of the trip. And your prayers meant a lot to me. I held on to them. I probably slept about 30 out of 48 hours. I was just in and out of it at all times. Is my time's up? No. But it was awesome. Like most people here, there was times that I wondered why I was there. It seemed like the first couple days that I was there and sharing with people, I got the most obnoxious, the most rude people, didn't want to hear the word at all. And I would go away totally defeated. And during devotions a couple times, just the Lord really uplifted me, and it really spoke to me that, you know, we're planting seeds, you know. And so often we want to see the complete cycle. We want to see the fruits of it. And it became kind of like a personal goal for me. And I wasn't there for my own self. We're there as a team. And to get to see other people sharing and people coming to the Lord, young Christians, Robin Bruce and people like that, that are really young in the Lord, and the enthusiasm that they had in sharing their faith with these people and seeing people come to the Lord, just totally ministered to me that, you know, you're being selfish. You know, we're here as a group. We're here to plant seeds. And we don't know what's going to happen. You know, and all the people I shared with, none of them ever accepted the Lord. And Daniel and I shared with this one guy one time. He was a totally Orthodox guy. And Daniel would be sharing with him. And I'd go, here, Daniel, give him this scripture here. You know, I'd be looking up scriptures. I'd be praying for Daniel while I was sharing. And, you know, and he just not interested. And we shared with him for over an hour. And he just kind of walked away. And Daniel came to me that night, and he goes, man, Roy, he's here. He's here, and he was there the last two nights that we were there. And he didn't accept the Lord, but he was there, you know. And we walked away totally defeated, thinking that, you know, we didn't even reach this guy. We gave him the gospel, and we didn't reach him at all. But as it went on, is kind of obvious from the very beginning that the Lord was going to do a neat work with the children there. Our first two outreaches were at the school. And our first evening service, I think, was about 85 to 90% kids. I mean, it's just totally almost all kids. There's probably about 15 adults there. You know, and so, you know, we winged it, and Christy went up there, and they shared, and they did the wordless book and stuff. But as it continued to grow, and as we did more outreaches at the metros and stuff, more adults came. But like Mary had said, there's 96 kids from the ages of 5 to 12. And one night I had asked Jack, I go, Jack, how long are we planning on going to service tonight? He goes, it was about 6:30 at night. He goes, oh, we're going to go till about 9 o'clock. So we're going, oh, man, what are we going to do with these kids till 9 o'clock? So we did everything we could do and talked with Mark and stuff. And we said, hey, we want to go outside and play a few games with the kids and stuff. And he goes, some parents here are kind of overprotective, so just find out whose kids are here, that their parents are here, and you know, and keep those guys in, and the rest of you guys can go out. So we went in and we asked all the kids that were there. I go, how many kids or parents are here? And only 8 raised their hands. All the other kids had just come by on their self, you know, and they were there every night. You know, and it was neat, and the Lord just really spoke to me at the end, you know, as I still doubted why I was there sometimes. The Lord just spoke to me and says, you're there for these kids. Because they wanted me to come out there after I'd showed them this one game. They wanted me to come out every night with them and play with them. You know, and they asked me, they go, how old are you? And I said, 40 going on 10. You know, and to them, that was the neatest thing, that somebody, an adult, would sit there and play with them for hours on end and just, you know, be out there with them running around. You know, I go back to my room and ask Dr. Bob to give me some Bengay and, you know, ask Michael to, you know, crack my back and my neck. And but it was neat to see what the Lord's doing with the kids. And as I was thinking, as I got the phone call yesterday that I'm going to share, you know, the Lord just really spoke to me. And I remember as a teenager hearing that, I believe it was Stalin said it, you know, all he needed was one generation to turn the United States around and to make it a communist country. You know, and as we look at the United States now and we see the direction that it's heading, the Lord just showed me all we need is one generation in Russia to turn that place around. You know, 70 years without the Lord, and now they have an opportunity to hear the Lord. And just as I thought about Moses in the wilderness and stuff, and it was one generation. The older generation couldn't go into the promised land. But the younger generation, those that were 20 and under, that was the generation that got to go to the promised land. And these kids here, George Bryson had shared, he said, don't focus yourself too much on the older generation, but focus yourself on the 35 to 17-year-old people. He says, because that's the people who will come. The older people, they don't have time. And it's so true, you know, you share with the older people and they love the Lord, you know, but they couldn't make time to come to church. And just that generation that's coming up now, the 12-year-olds, the 10-year-olds, and those kids, they were there every night. And like Warren said, they're worshiping the Lord, you know, and they learned some of the English words, but, you know, they learned the hand motions, you know, and they just, it was totally awesome. Just to see the love that they have for Jesus Christ. And I just encourage you guys to pray for these people. Like everybody else has said, there's an awesome work going over there. The church is flourishing. It was neat to see Walt and some of the other people from the other St. Petersburg church come over. It's not a thing of competition. You know, they were happy that we were there. They're happy that we're sharing the gospel with people. And they encouraged some of their English-speaking people to come over and help translate for us. Just totally awesome the way, you know, it was a big group. And the Lord just did an awesome work there through everybody. And I know all of us, we totally felt unworthy at times and doubted not our salvation, but why we were there, though. We're going, man, just, you know, because it is. You know, you think you're going to go over there and you're going to just have this emotional high the whole time, and it's not. There's a lot of times where you're doubting, and, you know, Satan uses those times to really to test you and to try to bury you under, you know, to get you to cower. And, you know, there's times that you didn't want to share. You know, you just, there's days that you go, man, I don't want to share. I feel totally defeated. You know, and you get together with somebody else, another brother or sister, and, you know, you'd be praying for, you know, just give me the strength, Lord, to just to continue on and to fight the fight that we, you know, that you've called us to do. And it was neat. It's a great group of people that we went over with. It's got a chance to meet and grow closer together with a lot of people that sometimes here at the church that you're just passing by all the time. And to get to spend 2 weeks with them and to learn a little bit more about them is a neat experience. So I'd encourage anybody that has an opportunity to go on any missions just to do it. You know, don't worry. The Lord will take care of it. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength. You know, and he'll continue to do his work. It's neat to be used by him in a mighty way. Thank you.
We are way over time. Can you guys share like in 30 seconds?
John, why don't you come up?
Hush, Lee.
If you guys ever go anywhere, don't hang around Jim Bovey. He'll get you in more trouble than it's worth. We probably could have done the same work if we spent 2 weeks in Rancho Cucamonga. And I asked God even last night while I was awake during jet lag, and I said, God, why have you broken our hearts over people 7,000 miles away? And he said, to show you that I value them and to show you that I value you. And boy, just keep these people in prayer. And it's not us that got all the blessings. We come back with bagfuls of treasures to share with you guys. It was an awesome work. Praise God.
This trip was really awesome. It was a great opportunity that God let me go to. And the people are just awesome. They're really sincere and really open. And they're like jewels, you know. They're so awesome. And God just is working through everyone over there. And just keep praying for the couples and just the people there. Thank you.
Let's all stand together. And we'll end in a song. Next week.